With you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15. We're going to be looking at just a few verses today where we see a conflict arising. We just got finished with one conflict in chapter 15, talking about the controversy over circumcision, which was resolved. And now we see Paul and Barnabas. They are preparing for another journey. And in verse 36, it says, "After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are.'" So you can see the concern that Paul has for those brethren. So Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark, but Paul thought it best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And so we understand that sometimes conflicts do happen, and sometimes people are not able to see eye to eye with another person on a particular issue. Sometimes conflicts come from misunderstandings and poor communication, and whatever the case may be. We do run into problems from time to time with other people, but we should expect that to happen. The question is, how do you handle those things? And I think the New Testament certainly does show us some advice on how to handle these. One example of a potential conflict I think is interesting when you look at the choice that Jesus made when he chose his disciples. And I'm thinking about two people in particular that could have a conflict, and that's Simon the Zealot and Levi the tax collector. And as we've studied before, when we talk about the life of Christ and looking at those that Jesus chose to be his disciples, we did a lesson on that a while back. People that Jesus befriends, we noted that that one of the men that Jesus chose was a tax collector named Levi, who we commonly refer to as Matthew. And we remember that tax collectors were considered to be traitors to the Jewish cause, because tax collectors, many of them were known to be thieves and extortioners, and that's a reason why they were classified in such a derogatory way. They were a hated group by the Jews. But still, Matthew was in this group and a tax collector. So Jesus also chose as one of his apostles Simon the Zealot. And what was a zealot? Well, the zealot background is very interesting when you look at it historically. The Expositor's Bible Commentary states that a zealot was one who advocated revolutionary opposition to Rome. And Ryrie's commentary says that zealots advocated the overthrow of Rome by force. Josephus, a famous Jewish historian, says that zealots resorted to violence and assassination in their hatred of the foreigner. Vincent's Word Study says that zealots were a sect which stood for the recovery of Jewish freedom and the maintenance of distinctive Jewish institutions. And so why do I bring that up? Well, Simon the Zealot and Levi or Matthew the tax collector are two that would, in normal circumstances, butt heads, because they are from, one works for the Roman Empire taxing the Jews, and the other is one that really has a distaste for the Roman Empire and a hatred for the Roman Empire and everything that it stood for. So you have these two that could be at odds. And so it's not hard to imagine the conflict that could have existed on the first day where these two are introduced to each other, but we do see them living at peace that we know of, as they are disciples of Christ. And now we see Paul and Barnabas. And so we definitely see that this conflict, and to me, just a side point, this is one thing that I believe, attest to the authenticity of the Bible, and that it is God's Word, is that these things that they could be perceived negatively are still recorded for us. Everything that we see about, you know, Peter and some of the other disciples and apostles, when they said things that they shouldn't, or they had conflict that was not good, is still recorded for us. And we see this conflict here that's told to us. And let's see if we can understand why that this happened. So this conflict between Paul and Barnabas here transpires when Paul desires to go back to the cities that he and Barnabas have preached to earlier. And he says he wants to go see how they're doing. He's wanting to travel around and be an encouragement to them. And it says, let's go to every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. And that's certainly very commendable. And Barnabas wanted to take with them John called Mark. But, you know, so Barnabas wants to take Mark on this journey. And if you recall, in Acts chapter 13, it says in verse 13, when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. And John here is John Mark, who did not continue with them at this point. And so, you know, this is the reasoning that Paul uses that with Barnabas. I don't want John Mark to go with us because he left us before. Verse 38, Paul thought it best not to take with one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. So, you know, many people may speculate and on what this disagreement was all about. And I'm sure there is no shortage of opinions and speculation about why all this may have happened. So I will join right into that and speculate myself. But, you know, Barnabas seems here not to be bothered by this fact that John Mark had returned to Jerusalem on the first journey. That's pretty much well stated here, that Paul has a problem with it, but Barnabas does not. So whatever it was that John Mark had done and why he did it, you know, Barnabas doesn't have a problem with it. So, you know, what was the situation? What have we seen that happened to Paul on the first journey? Was it all a bowl of cherries and it was just the greatest vacation that they ever had? No, it was not. What we see is that Mark left before all the fun started. Mark left before all of the problems started with Paul. And Mark had not seen the Jews of Antioch of Pisidia chasing them through the cities of Asia Minor, you know, persecuting them. Mark had not seen what happened in Lystra, where Paul was stoned and then dragged out of the city and left for dead. And so, trying to put myself in Paul's shoes here and see that Mark left at a time when things really got rough. And I don't know the reason that it doesn't state why Mark left, but Mark left at a time when things really got bad for Paul. And so if Mark bailed out on the first journey when the going got hard, or before the going got hard, what will happen this time? And so, you know, what if Mark experiences the persecutions of the Jews? And so that may be the reasoning of Paul, that, you know, I just don't think this is a good idea. So who's right? You know, is Barnabas right, or is Paul right? Well, I'm going to say they're both right, because they both have opinions about this. You know, neither one of them are making up a story or some have some axe to grind. These are the facts. And what we read here is that verse 39, it says that there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him sailed away to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so what they do, this solution that they come up with for this is that they divide up the territories that they had visited. And Barnabas takes Mark to Cyprus. They go to see how the disciples are doing there. Paul takes Silas. They go to Syria and Cilicia, and they strengthen the churches there. And so what it appears here is that they have different reasons for the decisions that they made. And sometimes people have different backgrounds, they have different values, they have different perceptions, and sometimes those things cause us to have conflict or disagreement because we don't see things the same way as other people. We are not robots and do things all the same way. If we talk about, you know, replacing the carpet in the building or painting the building or, you know, what types of songs you should lead. You know, there's things that we have different opinions about. But if I choose some songs that you don't like and you choose some songs I don't like, doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong. Well, it does, but it doesn't. No, it means that we're different. It means we have different opinions. And Paul and Barnabas here had a different opinion about John Mark. And I'm not going to say Paul was right or Barnabas was right. I'm going to say they both had their reasons for doing what they did. But they made the best of it and went and took care of the situation that needed to be taken care of. What they all wanted to do is they wanted to go and strengthen the churches. And they both split up and did exactly that. So we don't always make the decisions that somebody else would make. And so what we see here is that, you know, just backing up a little bit, we know that John Mark was the son of Mary, the cousin of Barnabas, and that we know also that they eventually reconciled. And so that's very interesting, isn't it? Because we see Paul saying some very positive things about John Mark later. And so in Colossians chapter 4, you look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. It says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about how from whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, tell him I'm still mad at him. No, it doesn't say that. It says if John Mark comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. And so you see here that there later on, there's no hard feelings with Paul toward John Mark. He's actually complimenting John Mark. He's been a big comfort to me. He's helpful to me. And when you meet him, I want you to greet him. I want you to treat him kindly. And so we see that. And also in Philemon, verse 24, he's greeted there. And as he's greeting here in this letter, he says, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. And how does he refer to them? My fellow laborers. And so Paul is referring to John Mark as a fellow laborer. He's somebody that's working with him in the kingdom. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, as I like to refer to the book of 2 Timothy, I call it Paul's famous last words, because he's about to die and he's given instruction to Timothy. And toward the end of the book, he says, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me in the ministry. So that's a very powerful statement, as Paul knows that his life is about to end. And who does he want to see? He wants to see Mark. Why? he's useful to me in the ministry. So this disagreement that we have here in Acts, you know, for whatever reason, if it's because, you know, Mark deserted them at a time when things, you know, got really bad, or, you know, there was whatever the reason was that he decided to go back to Jerusalem, and Paul thought it wasn't a good idea for him to go on this journey at this time, and he had a disagreement with Barnabas. You see that is something that is short-lived, that Paul is not holding a grudge against John Mark, that they're all working toward the same goal. And they're all working to spread the gospel of Christ. So I think that's a very powerful message for us. So with that said, let me just tell you some things that we noticed that Paul and Barnabas didn't do. What not to do with conflicts. And so what we don't see is that Paul and Barnabas dragged the Antioch church into the dispute they're having with each other. Paul and Barnabas are not turning this sharp disagreement into drama for the other Christians to sort out. But how often do we do that? You know, we pull people into problems that it's not really their business to know about. Well, here's what she said to me, or here's what he did to me, and, you know, how do you think that I should handle this? Well, maybe you should go talk to them about it instead of talking to me. You know, that should be our response, but sometimes we jump into that. But we don't see Paul and Barnabas dealing with this in a way that is bringing others into conflict. What did they do? They went and kept preaching. They went and kept encouraging the brethren. They decided, well, I'm going to go, you go over here, and I'm going to go over here. And they continued doing what it was that they needed to do. What about the way husbands and wives treat each other sometimes? If we have conflicts in our marriage, well, we're going to tell everybody else about it, about how horrible my husband is or how horrible my wife is, rather than deal with the problem quietly. And I'll just brag on Jarell for a minute, because I know that there's been times when she hasn't been happy with me or some decision that I've made, and I've done something stupid, that as far as I know, she has never, you know, got on the phone with her mother and told her, you know, how horrible Randy is. Maybe she has, but if she did, I didn't know about it. That she does not do that to me. She does not go and badmouth me in front of others. And so that's, if we have conflicts with others, we need to deal with the others. And we see Paul and Barnabas doing this. It does not seem to have exploded into some big issue that's going to divide brethren, and people are going to take Paul's side or take Barnabas' side, and here's John Mark, you know, wondering, you know, what's going on, and doing damage to him. So we need to, you know, look at the way that we should and should not deal with conflicts. It's pretty obvious here that Paul, in some of the things that we've seen him say here about John Mark to other people, that he did not forever just give, you know, John Mark and Barnabas the cold shoulder. You know, we had this disagreement, and I can't believe they did what they did. And, you know, if he just wake up, you know, he would just see that this was not a good idea. So sometimes, depending on our personality, we often act like children when there's a conflict that arises, because we either lash out or we do the opposite and we just don't say anything. We're going to give somebody the cold shoulder. And is that really acting like Christ? Well, you know, certainly not. Do we think that, you know, intentionally ignoring someone in an attempt to hurt them or to make some kind of point is acceptable? It's not the right way to handle issues. And so we don't see, you know, Paul doing this. We see Paul still having an affection for John Mark and the work that he's doing in the ministry. He's useful to me. You know, pay attention to him. Give him greetings. And sometimes we just complain about the situation. If we can't have things our way, we're going to complain as much as possible about what happened. And, you know, can you imagine Paul going to the cities of Asia Minor? You know, you see who's with me. You know, this isn't what we plan. I know you're expecting to see Barnabas, but, you know, Barnabas isn't here. And, you know, the reason he's not is because he thought he should take this deserter with him. So they're over somewhere else. I can't imagine Paul doing that, you know, telling all the disciples about how Barnabas wanted to go be with that deserter. And I can't see Barnabas doing the same thing either. Well, you know, you're probably expecting to see Paul here, but it's me and John Mark, and, you know, Paul didn't want anything to do with us. I'm convinced the apostles did not behave in this way. But is it a stretch to think that brethren sometimes behave in this way? We want to make sure everybody knows what that other person did to us and paint that person as something terrible. That's not the way Christians should act. What we should do is we should do what we see Paul and Barnabas do. Try to work it out. And you know, not just want to be the person that's right and try to get our way. The you know, the language here in Acts chapter 15, as it talks about that there was a great dispute or great disagreement, it indicates that was an ongoing discussion, that this is something that there was an impasse, that they talked this out and did not, you know, come to an agreement to take John Mark with them. But what they did is that they worked it out in such a way that they both went and did the work of the Lord. This was a discussion that finally turned into a dispute and needed to be worked out. And it also was not something that was just overlooked and not dealt with. We need to, hold on just one second. Sometimes we think the answer is very clear from our vantage point. And as we said at the beginning here, I can see how Paul and Barnabas both had a point here. And they both probably thought that they were right. And I think that's why they had the sharp dispute or sharp disagreement, is because they both thought they were right, and they really didn't budge to the point that they accepted to do this work together at the time. But they did end up coming to a conclusion where they could move forward. Barnabas wasn't able to change Paul's mind. Paul wasn't able to change Barnabas's mind. And they had the ability to just let that go and to go on and do the work and unite under a common cause. And so sometimes we just don't see all things alike, and there are things that people will disagree on, and that's what happened here regarding John Mark. But they united under the common cause of Christ, and their desire to help encourage the disciples in the other city. And that's exactly what the point was. That was what the goal was at the beginning, to do work for the Lord. And their disagreement here is not going to stop them from doing that. And I'm sure in the same way, you know, Simon the Zealot and Levi or Matthew the tax collector may have had many issues upon which they would have disagreed concerning the involvement of the Roman Empire into their life, but they united under the common cause of being a disciple of Christ and following Jesus. Another interesting point is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, where Paul makes the statement, Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? And what he is saying there is that sometimes you just need to let things go. He's saying it's better to be defrauded than to make a point to always be right. That sometimes you just need to let things go. Sometimes we use the phrase, "This is not the hill that I want to die on." And I'm not saying that we compromise our beliefs for the sake of peace. That is not what we're saying. But sometimes with Paul and Barnabas here, I think that's what they did. This is not the hill they're going to die on. They got over this pretty quickly and went on and did the Lord's work. And we see that Paul, in particular, he's putting the Lord's work first. And he's not holding a grudge. And what do we also see about Paul and about Barnabas and John Mark? They also continue to work. In John Mark in particular, if John Mark got offended by this argument, there is not any indication in the Scriptures that this deterred him at all from going and doing the work that he was doing with Barnabas. Otherwise, he would not have received the comments that Paul made about him. Since Paul was willing to acknowledge Mark's later usefulness, as we already read in Colossians and in 1 Timothy and in Philemon, Paul is giving credit where credit is due, and he's giving praise and honor to John Mark and the work that he is doing. And can you imagine if this had been handled differently, how offended John Mark could have been at Paul, and maybe not been as useful as he could have been in the work of the Lord. And so it's important for us to be able to resolve conflicts. And I think for the most part, people know how to resolve conflicts. It's that many times we are more interested in showing ourselves to be right than we are fixing the conflict. And we are more interested in getting our way, or especially having people know that we are right and that our side is the one that is the correct one. And that's number one goal, is making everybody know that. That's not the way to fix the conflict. Because we want to justify our thoughts too much, and rather than making a show, rather than causing a stir and lashing out and complaining about how terrible everybody is to us, we need to act properly and resolve conflicts, even if it means you might think you're being treated a little unfairly. So, we took a lot of time here today just to talk about just a few little passages here in Acts chapter 15. And we probably don't spend a whole lot of time talking about this conflict that Paul and Barnabas had, because there's not a lot of attention that's given to it in these verses. But there's enough attention given to it that it says it was heated, that it was not a small disagreement. But I think the big picture and the big lesson that you can take away from this is not what happened in these three or four verses, but what we see happening in the rest of the New Testament regarding all three of these men, and the way that they got along later, and the work that they did, and their love for one another, and their commendation of each other. So good lesson on how to deal with conflict and to get along, especially when they didn't come to an initial agreement here, but they went on, what they do? They did the work of the Lord. And that was their common cause, common goal that they could unite under. So I hope that will be a lesson to us and be useful to us as we work together as the body of Christ here at Elliottsville, and we work with other Christians that we know to spread the word of the Lord. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we invite you to come while we stand and sing. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day, for the blessings we enjoy in our lives, and for allowing us to meet together today. We are thankful for your continued care, for answering our prayers. Thank you for our health, our homes, and our families. Please be with Elijah Biddle and Noah Gassaway while they are away from their families. Protect them and help them be successful. Please continue to be with those who we regularly pray for, Miss Amy, Miss Beth, Mr. Christie. We ask that you watch over all those who are serving our country, that our leaders as they are in office. Guide our leaders so that we can have a government that allows us to feel safe and keep our freedoms. Help us overcome our temptations. Be with us as we strive to serve you. Please help keep us safe as we go throughout this coming week. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, to this earth to die for the remission of our sins. And in your Son's name we pray. Amen.